ಓಂ ಭದ್ರಂ ಕರ್ಣೇಭ್ಯಃ ಶೃಣುಯಾಮ ದೇವಾಃ ಭದ್ರಂ ಪಶ್ಯೇಮಾಕ್ಷಭಿರ್ಯಜತ್ರಾಃ ಸ್ಥಿರೈರಂಗೈಸ್ತುಷ್ಟುಪಾಗಂಸಸ್ತನೂಭಿಃ ವ್ಯಶೇಮ ದೇವಹಿತೈಯದಾಯುಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿನ ಇಂದ್ರೋ ವೃದ್ಧಶ್ರವಾಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿನಃ ಪೂಷಾ ವಿಶ್ವವೇದಾಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನಸ್ತಾರ್ಕ್ಷ್ಯೋ ಅರಿಷ್ಟನೇಮಿಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನೋ ಬೃಹಸ್ಪತಿರ್ದಧಾತು ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ರೀಡ್ ದಿ ಮಂತ್ರಾಸ್. ತೃತೀಯ ಮುಂಡಕೆ ಪ್ರಥಮ ಖಂಡ. ದ್ವಾಸುಪರ್ಣ ಸಯುಜಾ ಸಖಾಯ ಸಮಾನಂ ವೃಕ್ಷಂ ಪರಿಶಸ್ವ ಜಾತಿ ತಯೋರನ್ಯಃ ಪಿಪ್ಪಲಂ ಸ್ವಾದ್ವತ್ತಿ ಅನಶ್ನನ್ಯೋ ಅಭಿಚಾಕಶೀತಿ ಸಮಾನೇ ವೃಕ್ಷೇ ಪುರುಷೋ ನಿಮಗ್ನಃ ಅನೀಶಯಾ ಶೋಚತಿ ಮುಹ್ಯಮಾನಃ ಜುಷ್ಟಂ ಯದಾ ಪಶ್ಯತ್ಯನ್ಯಮೀಶಂ ಅನ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಅಸ್ಯ ಮಹಿಮಾನಮಿತಿ ವೀತಶೋಕಃ ಯದಾ ಪಶ್ಯಃ ಪಶ್ಯತೆ ರುಕ್ಮವರ್ಣಂ ಕರ್ತಾರಮೀಶಂ ಪುರುಷಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಯೋನಿಂ ತದಾ ವಿದ್ವಾನ್ ಪುಣ್ಯಪಾಪೇ ವಿಧೋಯ ನಿರಂಜನಃ ಪರಮಂ ಸಾಮ್ಯಮುಪೈತಿ ಪ್ರಾಣೋ ಯೇಷ ಯಃ ಸರ್ವಭೂತೈರ್ವಿಭಾತಿ ವಿಜಾನನ್ ವಿದ್ವಾನ್ ಭವತೇ ನಾತಿವಾದಿ ಆತ್ಮಕ್ರೀಡ ಆತ್ಮರತಿ ಕ್ರಿಯಾವಾನ್ ಏಷ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವಿದಾಂ ವರಿಷ್ಠಃ ಸತ್ಯೇನ ಲಭ್ಯಸ್ತಪಸಾ ಏಷ ಆತ್ಮ ಸಮ್ಯಗ್ಞಾನೇನ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಚರ್ಯೇಣ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಅಂತಃಶರೀರೇ ಜ್ಯೋತಿರ್ಮಯೋ ಹಿ ಶುಭ್ರಃ ಯಂ ಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಯತಯಃ ಕ್ಷೀಣ ದೋಷಾಃ ಸತ್ಯಮೇವ ಜಯತೆ ನಾನೃತಂ ಸತ್ಯೇನ ಪಂಥ ವಿತತೋ ದೇವಯಾನಃ ಯೇನಾಕ್ರಮನ್ ತಿರುಷಯೋ ಹ್ಯಾಪ್ತಕಾಮಾಃ ಯತ್ರ ತತ್ ಸತ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಪರಮಂ ನಿಧಾನಂ ಬೃಹಚ್ಚ ತದ್ ದಿವ್ಯಮಚಿಂತ್ಯ ರೂಪಂ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮಾಚ್ಚ ತತ್ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮತರಂ ವಿಭಾತಿ ದೂರಾತ್ ಸುದೂರೇ ತದಿಹಾಂತಿಕೇ ಚ ಪಶ್ಯನ್ ಪಶ್ಯತ್ಸ್ವಿಹೈವ ನಿಹಿತಂ ಗುಹಾಯಾಂ ನ ಚಕ್ಷುಷಾ ಗೃಹ್ಯತೆ ನಾಪಿ ವಾಚಾ ನಾನ್ಯೈರ್ದೇವೈಸ್ತಪಸಾ ಕರ್ಮಣಾ ವಾ ಜ್ಞಾನಪ್ರಸಾದೇನ ವಿಶುದ್ಧ ಸತ್ವಃ ತತಸ್ತು ತಂ ಪಶ್ಯತೆ ನಿಷ್ಕಲಂ ಧ್ಯಾಯಮಾನಃ ಯೇಷೋನುರಾತ್ಮ ಚೇತಸಾ ವೇದಿತವ್ಯಃ ಯಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಪ್ರಾಣಃ ಪಂಚಧಾಸಂ ವಿವೇಶ ಪ್ರಾಣೈಶ್ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಸರ್ವಮೋತಂ ಪ್ರಜಾನಾಂ ಯಸ್ಮಿನ್ ವಿಶುದ್ಧೇ ವಿಭವತ್ಯೇಷ ಆತ್ಮ ಯಂ ಯಂ ಲೋಕಂ ಮನಸಾ ಸಂವಿಭಾತಿ ವಿಶುದ್ಧ ಸತ್ವಃ ಕಾಮಯತೆ ಯಾಂಶ್ಚ ಕಾಮಾನ್ ತಂ ತಂ ಲೋಕಂ ಜಯತೆ ತಾಂಶ್ಚ ಕಾಮಾನ್ ತಸ್ಮಾದ್ ಆತ್ಮಜ್ಞಂ ಹ್ಯರ್ಚಯೇತ್ ಭೂತಿ ಕಾಮಃ. ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಅಗೈನ್ ದೀಸ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್ that vastu paramatma is available for recognition in the cave of mind and wise people have a clear vision of that atma and they have the vision of atma in their own mind. guhayam nihitam pashyanti ihayeva guhayam nihitam pashyanti. Beautiful. So brihat cha tad divyam ಅಚಿಂತ್ಯ ರೂಪಂ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮಾತ್ ತತ್ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮತರಂ ವಿಭಾತಿ. ದಟ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವಸ್ತು ಈಸ್ ಶೈನಿಂಗ್ ವಿಭಾತಿ. ದಟ್ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಕಾಸ್ಮಾಸ್ ಅಲೋನ್ ಇಸ್ ಶೈನಿಂಗ್ ಆಸ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ವಿಭಾತಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಹೌ Brihatcha, that is the big, there's nothing bigger than that Atma. The Divyam, that is of the nature of effulgence. Effulgence means, that is of the nature of effulgence means that which is of the nature of knowledge. That which is of the nature of knowledge, thereby nothing in the world can illumine the Atma. Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma alone illumines everything in the world. And it is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, it is Divyam. It is ever of the nature of self-effulgence. Achintya Rupam. And it is not, it is inconceivable. It is not an object of thought. Sukshmatcha tatu sukshmataram. Subtler, so this consciousness implied with the term Atma is subtler than the subtlest. I told you already, knowledge of the object is subtler than the knowledge. Subtler than the object. Knowledge of the object is subtler than the object of knowledge. Then the knower, because of whose presence knowledge is possible, that knower is another than consciousness, Atma, and knower is subtler than knowledge. Sukshmat tat sukshmataram and vibhati, that shines here. And durat sudure, that reality is non-reachably far for the person who is ignorant of the truth. Tadi iha antikecha, and that is the nearest truth. If a person understands, for the one who knows the truth, for him truth is the nearest self. The truth for the ignorant person is non-reachably far. And such reality, pashyanti ihayeva guhayam nihitam pashyanti. People see that reality, recognize that reality, hidden in the cave of mind, here itself, hidden in the cave of mind, as the very truth of I. You have seen the seventh mantra. Simply just want to go through it once. Next mantra. Na chakshusha grihyate na pivacha. Nanyair devais tapasa karmanava. Jnana prasadena vishuddha sattvaha. Tatastutam pashyate nishkalam dhyayamanaha. Na chakshusha grihyate na pivacha. Nanyair devais tapasa karmanava. Jnana prasadena vishuddha sattvaha. Tatastutam pashyate nishkalam dhyayamanaha. Na chakshusha grihyate na pivacha. Nanyair devais tapasa karmanava. Jnana prasadena vishuddha sattvaha. Tatastutam pashyate nishkalam dhyayamanaha. Okay. Na chakshusha grihyate. Na api vacha. The grihyate should be again, we have to supply the same verb must be continued. Chakshusha na grihyate. Vacha api na grihyate. Anyaihi devaihi na grihyate. Tapasa na grihyate. Karmana api na grihyate. Jnana prasadena vishuddha sattvaha. Tataha tu tam nishkalam dhyayamanaha pashyate. It's a beautiful mantra. See, the verses which you have seen already are very profound, highly profound mantras. The previous mantras. And this mantra also is equally profound one. It is said, the attainment of knowledge of the reality, is something wonderful. And the knowledge of the reality is amazing. It is very unique. Knowledge of the reality, otherwise said to be Brahma Jnanam or Atma Jnanam, is something very, very unique. Why it is Brahma Jnanam, Atma Jnanam is very unique? Because Brahma Jnanam is not knowledge of an object. You are the knower of the world. You are the knower of the world. And because of your presence in this world as a knower, knowledge of the world is possible. And knowledge of the world is, so knowledge of the world is knowledge of the object. Knowledge of anything in the world is knowledge of the object. Whereas Brahma Jnanam is not the knowledge of the object. Brahma Jnanam is not the knowledge of the object, because Brahman, the absolute reality, is not an object of knowledge. Brahman, the reality, is not an object of knowledge. Therefore, Brahma Jnanam is not the knowledge of an object. And what is this Brahman? Because, what is Brahman? Brahman is the very truth of every object, without whose presence no object can be there, without whose presence knowledge of an object also is not possible, and without whose presence there cannot be even the knower. And Brahman is the truth which is available for recognition as the Swarupam, the truth of the subject of knowledge, the knower. Which means we need to perceive something, objectify something, to have the knowledge of anything in the world. If we have to have the knowledge of anything in the world, we must objectify it, we must perceive it, either in the mind, inside the mind, internally, or in the external world through our sense organs. Whereas Brahma Jnanam is something without requiring to objectify anything, with anything internally or externally, one can have the vision of the reality. In fact, Brahman is not at all an object of knowledge, so you can never have the You can never arrive at Brahman as an object which is experienced inside the mind. We can never have, Brahman is not an object experienced inside the mind or in the external world also. Because Brahman is not even an object of experience. Brahman is the very truth because of which every experience is possible. So there's no such a thing called directly having experience of Brahman or indirectly having experience of Brahman. Brahman is not an object of direct knowledge, nor Brahman is an object of indirect knowledge. Okay, people think the word sakshatkaraha is mistaken. See, direct knowledge, if an object is perceived directly through sense organs, then it is that knowledge of an object is called what? Direct knowledge. Direct perception. Pratyaksha jnanam. Pratyaksha jnanam means direct knowledge of objects. Directly knowing the objects through sense organs, through perception. Directly knowing the objects through sense perception is called pratyaksha jnanam, direct knowledge. And indirect knowledge means having the knowledge of objects through other means of knowledge, through inference, through comparison, or even through, through explanation, through description. Pratyaksha Jnanam, Paroksha Jnanam. Paroksha Jnanam is indirect knowledge. Pratyaksha Jnanam is direct knowledge. Brahman is not an object available for Pratyaksha Jnanam. Definitely Brahman is not an object of indirect knowledge, that is Aparoksha Jnanam. Whereas Brahma Jnanam is Aparoksha Jnanam. Brahma Jnanam is not Paroksha Jnanam. Brahma Jnanam is not Pratyaksha Jnanam. Whereas Brahma Jnanam is Aparoksha Jnanam. It is neither a direct nor an indirect. Then what is Brahma? Aparoksha Jnanam means not what? Brahman Jnanam is not knowledge of the object. The knowledge of the object alone can be Pratyaksha Jnanam or Paroksha Jnanam. Whereas knowledge of the subject is Aparoksha Jnanam. So Brahman is not an object of experience. So Brahma Jnanam is in a given form. That is, Brahma Jnanam exists only in one given form. There is neither a direct experience of Brahman, nor is there indirect experience of Brahman. That's why I already said, Brahman is not an object of Pratyaksha Jnanam, not an object of Paroksha Jnanam also. Brahma Jnanam is Aparoksha Jnanam, which is Brahma Jnanam is knowledge of this subject. Okay, so it is said here, this mantra makes it very clear. Never ever try to experience Brahman. People think we can practice meditation. By practicing meditation, some sort of meditation, one day we can have a spiritual experience. One day we can experience Brahman on a fine day, at a fine time, a given time. Jnana Utpatti. No, Brahman will never available for experience. If at all we have any special extraordinary experience we have also, that is only an experience of something within the realm of the material world, it is not Brahma Jnanam. Okay, let me make it very clear. Upanishad, in this specific mantra, makes it very clear that Brahman is not an object of experience. Even though attainment of knowledge is dependent on practice of many disciplines, attainment of Brahma Jnanam is dependent on practice of many disciplines, which means any discipline is practiced only for refining the mind, only for preparing the mind, only for improving the personality. All disciplines are prescribed. Especially, our mind is the important instrument. It is in the mind, knowledge of Brahman also has to rise. And Brahman must be recognized only in the mind. And Brahman must be claimed as one's own Swarupam only in the mind. Therefore, this mind must be adequately free from impurities, which is said to be mental purification. And mind must be steady mind also. Mind must be free from restlessness, agitation. So only for preparing the mind, only for having mental purification and steadiness, all disciplines such as karma yoga and meditation, japa, etc., all those disciplines are practiced only for converting the unrefined mind into a refined mind. Thereby, mind becomes qualified, eligible for the attainment, eligible for the knowledge to rise. And Brahman, the absolute reality, is the subtlest reality. There's nothing subtler than Brahman. Extremely subtle. And this extremely subtlest reality, Brahman, must be recognized only in the mind. Therefore, the mind must be extreme. Mind also must become extremely subtle. Unless the mind becomes subtle, the gross mind cannot grasp the subtlest reality. Therefore, disciplines are prescribed in the Shastram to refine, for the refinement of the instrument, especially the mind. Therefore, what it is said is, Brahma, absolute reality, implied by the term Brahman, must be recognized, grasped only as the Swarupam of the subject of knowledge, only as Swarupam of the knower, I. And there is knowledge of self-existence obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am. Okay, even this, and even here, even when I say Brahman has been recognized as Swarupam of the knower, when I say, even then Brahman is not an object. Reality is something to be claimed as I am. I, the self, am myself Brahman. Reality is not objectified, it has to be claimed as one's own Swarupam. When a person has to claim the reality as one's own Swarupam, one must be very, very clear. One must be very clear that what must be the clarity? I, the first person singular pronoun, I, the self, am Brahman, aham Brahma asmi. I know Brahman is a wrong expression. Aham Brahma asmi means I am Brahman. I the self am Brahman. So mechanically, if you repeat, you say, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi. If we repeat this sentence, this is a sentence of fact, a statement of fact. Aham brahmasmi is a mahavakyam, it's a statement of fact. And if we simply mechanically repeat the statement of fact without understanding the meaning, we cannot enjoy any prayojanam, any benefit. If it is not a mechanical repeated utterance of the statement of fact, aham brahmasmi, it is something to be understood and to be claimed. When a person claims that aham brahmasmi, if a person has to claim the formless, abstract, subtlest reality consciousness implied by the word Brahman as the meaning of the word I, that I, the first person singular pronoun, I should not mean the physical body, I should not mean the mind, I should not mean the thoughts, I should not, I sense must be shifted from the body, mind, sense complex. Which means body is not the meaning of the word I, mind is not the meaning of the word I, not any of the emotions or thoughts become the meaning of the word I, pranas or sense organs are not the meaning of the word I. Meaning of the word I, the first person singular pronoun, must be the pure, formless, abstract consciousness. When you say wave, the meaning of the word wave is H2O, the water. Wave is water. I am consciousness Brahman. When you say Aham Brahma Asmi, what it means is the content of the word I, the meaning of the substantive, the substance of the substantive I must be pure, formless, abstract consciousness. And the consciousness is inherent in the body. It inheres, consciousness inheres the body, pervades the entire body, mentions complex. It energizes the body, enlivens the body. Body mentions complex. At the same time, consciousness is not limited by the peripheries, boundaries of the body mentions complex. Pure, abstract, formless consciousness alone must be taken as the meaning of the first person singular pronoun I. When a person claims the Atma Brahman as the self. So, it is not that one should claim only the pure consciousness as the self. In fact, consciously, one must be capable of excluding the inert material body, mind sense complex. One must consciously exclude the inert material body, mind sense complex as the anatma. One must claim only pure consciousness as the content of the word I. Then what happens? I the self am Atma. I the self am Brahman means I am consciousness which pervades the body, mentions complex. Enlivens the body, mentions complex. At the same time, not limited by the body, mentions complex. I am the consciousness. I am the only truth. Which pervades all forms, names and functions, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, which is free from all limitations. Consciousness, which is free from time limitation, free from spatial limitation, is free from object limitation. So I, the consciousness, am of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, Aham Brahma Asmi means I am limitless reality, limitless consciousness implied by the term Brahman. Which means then one must be conscious that no sense of location must be there. Which means one must consciously avoid the sense of location. Aham Brahma Asmi, when a person says, when a person claims I the self am consciousness, excluding the body, mind and as inert material products, the person should understand the consciousness is all pervasive reality. Thereby, one must avoid the sense of location. Very important. So, in order not to have the sense of location, one must consciously exclude what? If we include the body, mind, and complex, then there'll be a problem. You will think that you are consciousness obtaining within the body, mind, and complex. No. When the wave sees itself being water, then it should not have any more identity with the wave form. It must see I, the wave, am the water, the only truth of the entire ocean. Similarly, here also, one must see when a person claims consciousness as the self, excluding the body, mind, and complex, he must avoid the sense of location. And if the sense of location must be avoided, naturally one must exclude the body, mind, sense complex. In fact, one must claim, I am consciousness, limitless, all pervasive, limitless, timeless, limitless consciousness. So, what I'm saying, excluding means what? One has to make use of the body, mind, sense complex to have the jnanam, to claim the fact that aham brahmasmi, to claim one's own essential nature, to say that aham brahmasmi. One must exclude body, mind, sense complex means to avoid the location, to avoid the attributes. Whereas body, mind, sense complex is a must. One must use the body, mind, sense complex to attain jnanam. Without the body, mind, sense complex, attainment of jnanam is not possible. So, it's not total exclusion. One must have a clear understanding that consciousness is all pervasive. Has no location. Consciousness has no location. Here, the lakshanam is something called lakshanam. Lakshanam is the definition. The lakshanam is used here. The method of distinguishing the truth from the untrue, non-self. There's a method. It's called bhagatyaga lakshanam. See, bhagatyaga lakshana or bhagatyaga lakshanam. Bhagatyaga lakshana. It's also known as jaha jahal lakshana. Let me make it one thing first. Bhagatyaga lakshana means one must carefully implement the bhagatyaga lakshana to arrive at the truth. See, bhagatyaga lakshana one must make use of the bhagatyaga lakshana to distinguish the truth and to claim the truth as one's own self. Because making use of bhagatyaga lakshana alone makes the understanding complete, makes the knowledge perfect and complete jnanam. So one needs to be prepared to make use of the bhagatyaga lakshana, thereby to make one's knowledge perfect and complete, one needs to be prepared. One must prepare. One must have a lot of preparation. And that is the reason all the discipline of karma yoga, meditation, upasanam, and jnana yoga, all these disciplines are sequentially prescribed to be followed to prepare one's mind ultimately for being able to implement the bhagatyaga lakshana, thereby to make one's knowledge perfect and complete. And definitely, of course, one must go to the teacher, one must be given a discipline, one must do shravanam, one must understand, etc. And here, In this mantra which we have read, the many messages are important messages are given in the mantra. Okay, so it is said, Chakshusha na grihyate. Chakshusha na grihyate. Oh, it's a sentence in passive voice. So, Brahma Vastu is not grasped through your physical eyes. Chakshusha na grihyate. The reality, the abstract, subtlest reality consciousness is not an object of knowledge. It is not grasped through sense organs. Not grasped through eyes means it is not seen through eyes. It is not grasped through any of the sense organs. Na api vacha. Vacha na grihyate. Vacha na grihyate. Chakshusha na grihyate. In what? This Atma Vastu, Brahma Vastu, the consciousness cannot be grasped, is not grasped through the eyes, means it cannot be perceived through the eyes. Means it is not an object of perception. So, it is also said, na anyehi, na anyehi devaihi. Not only it is not seen through physical eyes, Anya devaha means other sense organs. It cannot be perceived at all through any other sense organs also. It is not perceived through all sense organs, which means anyaihi devaihi, means through other sense organs also, Atma cannot be grasped. Sense organs are known as devas, because sense organs are capable of illumining the external world of objects. Sense organs are like the lights which are illumining the external world of objects. Therefore, every sense organ is like a light which illumines its corresponding object. Therefore, sense organ is known as devaha. And now all five sense organs are pancha devaha, pancha deepaha. But it is said, Chakshusha na grihyate, it is not seen through physical eyes, it is not perceived through any of the sense organs, it's not perceived through the sense organs. So, Atma is not available for sense perception. No, Indriya na devaihi, Chakshusha na grihyate. Now, why? Because Atma is not a sound. Atma is not the sound. Therefore, Atma cannot be heard. Atma is not the touch, object of touch. Therefore, it cannot be touched. Atma doesn't have any form. It cannot be seen. Atma doesn't have any smell. It cannot be smelled. Atma is not a taste. It cannot be tasted through the tongue. So, Atma is not Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandha. Atma had any of the objects. Therefore, only our sense organs can perceive, respectively, only these objects, sound, touch, form, taste and smell. Whereas Brahman is formless. Brahman has no form, absolutely of the nature of formlessness. No sound form, no touch form, no smell form, no taste form. Therefore, Brahman is of the nature of formlessness. Therefore, it cannot be perceived through, it must have some form, sound form, smell form, touch form, that it can be perceived through any of the sense organs. This pure consciousness, this abstract consciousness is of the nature of formlessness, attributelessness. It cannot be perceived through any of the sense organs. So, okay, then, Na api vacha. So Brahman cannot be perceived through sense organs. It cannot be described by the words also. No word can ever describe the reality. Na api vacha. We can have countless number of languages and countless number of words and sentences. No word can denote the Atma, describe Atma. Why? Because Atma has no attributes. words are capable of describing only objects which have attributes. Attributeful objects alone can be described by the words, whereas attributeless reality, abstract reality, cannot be described by any word. So, na api vacha means shabdaihi api na grihyate. It cannot be described. One cannot arrive at the reality as description through description of the words. No. Even though words of the Upanishads are said to be the means of arriving at Brahman, in fact, even the Upanishad words of Upanishads also do not reveal Brahman. Okay, words of the Upanishad only negate what Brahman is not. Words of Upanishads do not reveal Brahman directly. They help us arrive at the reality through the method of negation. They negate, the words of Upanishads only say what Brahman is not. By negating all the objects of knowledge as non-reality, Upanishads help us arrive at what the reality is. Even Upanishads' words do not reveal Brahman directly. The words of the Upanishad Shastram are only used for negating what Brahman is not, not for revealing what Brahman is. Then, when using, when all the words of the Upanishads help us negate what Brahman is not, when all the everything is negated as non-reality, non-Brahman, then what cannot be finally negated at all should be claimed as Brahman. Okay, abadhitam, what cannot be negated at all by any word, that alone should be what is finally should be claimed as Brahman. Anyway, so, which means no tapas, no ritual, no action, no karma, no sadhanam, even the meditation, even the act of, even the practice of meditation, practice of tapas, observing any vratams or performance of rituals, actions, no means, no preparatory discipline can help us. Preparatory disciplines can be helpful only in preparing the mind. They cannot help us claim the reality. Because even in meditation, devatas are all objectified. And Brahman is not any of the devatas. Even though all the devatas are Brahman, all sense organs function because of Brahman. All the words are possible because of manifestation of Brahman. But Brahman is not anything. Therefore, it is said in this mantra beautifully, na chakshusha grihyate napi vacha na anyaihi devaihi na tapasa karmana va. Not by any practice of any discipline, Brahman can be claimed as the self. Brahman can be arrived at. Therefore, it means even though we need to practice all those disciplines to become qualified for the attainment of jnanam, but those disciplines cannot be used to arrive at what Brahman is. It is finally said, how can Brahman be arrived at? That is said, jnana prasadena vishuddha sattvaha tatahatu tam nishkalam dhyayamanaha pashyate. And who has a clear vision of Brahman? Finally, it is said, ஞானப்பிரசாதேன விசுத்த சத்வா. In fact, ஞானப்பிரசாதேன one must have, one must entertain, one must have a mind. What mind here? A mind which is pure, steady, receptive mind, totally focused mind, totally focused, non-extrovert, receptive, tranquil mind one must have. Such a mind itself, mind it is possible to claim in such a mind. And having that quiet, relaxed, non-extrovert, tranquil mind is said to be jnana prasadaha. Jnana prasadena means jnanam, here means the mind. Jnanasya prasadaha, jnana prasadaha. Prasadaha means grace. Means only by having the grace of our own mind. We must have the grace of our own mind. We can have the grace of our own mind only if the mind is receptive, tranquil, relaxed, and free from agitation. So non-extroverted, focused, receptive, relaxed mind if we have, then we have the grace of our mind. See, we do require Bhagavan's grace. Bhagavan's grace must be in the form of the grace of our own mind. So we need jnana prasadaha, we need the grace of our own mind. If we have the grace of our mind, jnana prasadaha, please make a note, the word jnanam here means the mind. Jnana prasadena, by having the grace of our own mind, now we can have this vision, which means if we have the mental grace, then we will be free from unnecessary worries, we'll be free from disturbing thoughts, we'll be free from anxiety, we'll be free from impurities such as, you know, likes and dislikes, fear, hatred, anger, etc. So having the pure mind, being free from emotional disturbances, being free from worries, anxiety, stress, fear, likes and dislikes, hatred, anger, pain, etc. Having the mind free from these emotional impurities itself is said to be having the grace of the mind. Why? Because helplessly, naturally, mind continuously contributes for, mind produces thoughts of rajasic and tamasic nature. Mind does produce rajasic and tamasic nature naturally, continuously. If the mind is calm, the mind is tranquil, then naturally the production of rajasic and tamasic thoughts also will become nil. In a quiet, calm mind, there will not be rajasic thoughts. In a tranquil mind, there will not be tamasic thoughts. Rajasic and tamasic thoughts are possible only if the mind is not tranquil. So non-tranquil mind, unquiet, disturbed mind means having rajasic and tamasic thoughts. So the jnana prasadaha implies Chitta prasadaha. Jnana prasadaha means chitta prasadaha. Chitta prasadaha means what? The grace. Jnana prasadaha means mental tranquility. Otherwise said to be grace of the mind. See, we must have mental grace of our own mind in terms of tranquility, mental tranquility, mental serenity, the mind which is free from all disturbing rajasic, tamasic thoughts, disturbing emotions. So the word jnanam means antahkaranam, mind. Okay. So prasadaha implies tranquility. Tranquility means what? Being free from thoughts, rajasic and tamasic thoughts. Because if the mind is predominantly tamasic, then a person will be very drowsy. The mind, the person is predominantly rajasic, then mind will be very disturbed and always it will be extroverted. The predominantly rajasic mind will be extroverted. The predominantly tamasic mind will be dull and drowsy. Therefore, it is completely, such a mind, jnanam cannot rise. So, if a person is predominantly, a person is of predominantly tamasic mind, a person will be totally inactive person. The person is of rajasic, predominantly rajasic in nature, he'll be overactive. Anyway, so extroverted mind or dull mind is not conducive for knowledge. So the mind which is not at all drowsy, not dull, not sleepy, not inactive, at the same time, the mind which is not extroverted and restless and wandering, such a mind which is free from being wandering, which is free from being drowsy and dull, is said to be a sattvic mind. So, it is said, jnana prasadena, by having the grace of mind in terms of pure, having mental purity, purification, vishuddha sattvaha. Again, vishuddha sattvaha, the word sattvam again means the word mind. Vishuddha sattvaha means the person whose mind is pure. Okay. The pure, vishuddha sattvaha means the pure minded person having the grace of the mind. The pure minded person has the grace of the mind. The pure, if you have the grace of the mind, one must be pure minded. Vishuddha sattvaha, the pure minded person having the grace of mind, having mental tranquility, chitta prasada, then tataha means thereafter. Thereafter means when? After converting the rajasic, tamasic mind, after converting the tamasic mind into rajasic mind, converting rajasic mind into a sattvic mind. After converting the tamasic rajasic mind into a sattvic mind, tataha, having the grace of the mind in terms of mental purification, as the pure minded vishuddha sattvaha, a person tam pashyate, a person of sattvic mind, a person who has the grace of the mind, who has mental purification, as a purified minded, with the pure sattvic mind, tam pashyate, that person sees. Pashyate means that person is capable of discerning, distinguishing the reality as pure, attributeless, formless consciousness, being distinct from the thoughts. Tam pashyate means what? That person discerns, distinguishes is capable of discerning the reality implied by the term Brahman as pure, formless, abstract consciousness. Pashyate means perceives, he sees. In fact, even though literally Pashyate means sees or perceives, we should be very careful. The Brahman is not perceived as an object. When you say the person Pashyate means, we should not translate it as perceives or sees. We should understand the person distinguishes, the person is capable of discerning the reality as pure consciousness. Pashyate should be taken as not as sees or perceives. We should take it as discerns, distinguishes the reality as pure consciousness. And then when a person distinguishes the reality as pure consciousness, how does he, the consciousness which is beginningless, endless, changeless, which is free from all experiences and which is there, pure consciousness is there in and through all experiences. Consciousness is not an object of experience, but consciousness is the truth, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting truth, which is there in and through all experiences. And that person recognizes, means what? He discerns, distinguishes that consciousness as the one obtaining in and through all experiences. And as what? As Nishkalam Brahma. Nishkalam means what? A divisionless, undivided, indivisible. Undivided, indivisible, divisionless, partless whole. The person discerns consciousness as all pervasive, indivisible, undivided, partless whole. And he discerns that consciousness being undivided, indivisible, partless whole, all pervasive truth, contemplating, dhyayamanaha, means big contemplating. Contemplating upon what? Contemplating upon the teaching. So what, you can never meditate upon Brahman. Okay? Meditation upon Brahman is not possible. Meditating upon Brahman means what? You can say simply, really speaking, contemplating upon the teaching of the Shastram helps you discern. Contemplating upon the teaching of the Shastram, you're able to discern the reality, consciousness as Brahman. So contemplating upon the teaching of the Shastra means focusing one's attention on the teaching. A person arrives at the fact that Brahman is not an object. Brahman is not something which can be experienced. And Brahman is what? Brahman is not object of experience, means Brahman is nothing but pure consciousness. The only truth which is up there in all experiences in and through. And then, what is that Brahman here? Pure consciousness, Chaitanyam. Because many thoughts come in every, so many experiences are there, so many cognitions are there, thoughts rise and thoughts keep on moving. In all the moving thoughts, illumining the moving thoughts, what is there as is the consciousness. Consciousness is invariably present in all the variable cognitions, in all the variable thoughts. Therefore, the person dhyayamanaha means dwelling upon the subject matter of the shastram, which the person has understood through shravanam and mananam, and the person is capable of discerning the consciousness being distinct from everything, and he claims that consciousness as the truth of I. This is the meaning of this verse. Okay. Jnana prasadena vishuddha sattvaha tatastutam pashyate nishkalam dhyayamanaha. Shastra vishyam dhyayamanaha nishkalam pashyate. He recognizes that all pervasive, indivisible, undivided, partless whole, the consciousness. Okay, this is the meaning of the verse. Next verse, next mantra. Yesho nuratma chetasa veditavyaha yasmin pranav panchadhasam vivesha pranais chittam sarvamotam prajanam yasmin vishuddhe vibhavatyesha atma yesho nuratma chetasa veditavyaha yasmin pranav panchadhasam vivesha pranais chittam sarvamotam prajanam yasmin vishuddhe vibhavatyesha atma yesho nuratma chetasa veditavyaha yasmin pranav panchadhasam vivesha pranais chittam sarvamotam prajanam yasmin vishuddhe vibhavatyesha atma yesho nuratma chetasa veditavyaha yasmin pranav panchadhasam vivesha pranais chittam sarvamotam prajanam yasmin vishuddhe vibhavatyesha atma yeshaha anuhu yeshaha atma anuhu chetasa veditavyaha yasmin pranaha panchadha samvivesha pranaihi chittam sarvam otam prajanam yasmin vishuddhe aeshaha atma vibhavati yasmin vishuddhe eshaha atma vibhavati. This is the mantra. Now, in this ninth mantra also, Upanishad presents the same teaching. Means the same idea is repeatedly presented in this mantra also. Why Upanishad repeats the same idea? Because the teaching is very subtle. It must be correctly grasped. Therefore, Upanishad repeats the teaching, repeats the same idea in this mantra. Almost the same teaching. Why? Because the teaching is very important teaching. But Upanishad, even though same idea is given, it is presented different, in a different form, in another form. Yeshaha atma anuhu. The word anuhu literally means atom. Subtlest particle, minute particle, anuhu means atom. But eshaha atma anuhu does not mean atma is atom. Okay? Atma is not a minute particle. Atma is not a minute atom. Anuhu implies atma is subtle. Atma is all pervasive. Anuhu is something which can be located, at least through my microscope. But here, Anuhu is something, anyway, Anu is something, object of perception, object of knowledge. Whereas Atma is an object of knowledge. Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, the word Anuhu means Atma, the word Anuhu should be understood correctly. Shankara Bhagavatpada says, the Anuhu, even though Atma is said to be Anuhu, it means Atma is the subtlest. Subtlest means what? Atma is not an object of knowledge. So being the subtlest, it cannot be known at all through any of the means of knowledge, all possible means of knowledge, which means Atma is not an object of knowledge. Okay. And this Atma, subtlest Atma, Eshaha Anuhu Atma, Chetasa Veditavyaha, it must be known, Veditavyaha, Atma must be known through the mind. Chetasa Veditavyaha. Known through the mind means what? Again, with the help of the mind. Atma cannot be known as an object of thought. Okay? Chetasa Veditavyaha means Atma must be known not as an object of mind, not an object of thought, because Atma is not available for thought conception. Atma cannot be conceived mentally also. Not only Atma cannot be perceived sensorily, Atma cannot be conceived also mentally, but Chetasa Veditavyaha means Atma must be arrived at with the help of the mind. Atma should be arrived at only with the help of the mind. Okay. Then, Chetasa Veditavyaha, Eshaha Anuhu Atma Chetasa Veditavyaha, Yasmin Pranaha Panchada Samvivesha. Pranaha Panchada Samvivesha. So Chetasa Veditavyaha means the mind must be made subtle. The gross, my converting the gross mind into a subtle mind, by converting restless mind into a quiet mind, by converting the impure mind to a pure mind, by having pure, steady, rest, agitation free, subtle, quiet mind, by going through the disciplines prescribed by the Shastram, in terms of Karma Yoga, Upasana, etc., then by preparing the mind, with the help of that prepared mind, one must arrive at the truth. That is the meaning. And because reality, the subtlest of the organs is the mind. So the Atma, subtler than the mind, is available for recognition only in the mind. And the Shastram says it. Why the mind must be taken care of? Because Inihitam Guhayam, Atma is available for recognition only in the mind, as though it is hidden in the mind. Therefore, mind must be prepared. Only with the help of the mind you can arrive at it. Unless and until we take care of the mind, we take care of the mental preparation, it is impossible to arrive at what the reality is. Reality, even though reality is all pervasive, it's available for recognition only in the mind. Therefore, mind must be taken care of, mind must be prepared. Chetasa, with the help of the mind alone, Atma must be arrived at. Now, Pranaha Panchada Samvivesha Asmin. See, Asmin, in this body, in this body, in this physical body which is alive, which is live, in this body, physical body which is alive, okay, pranas are there. And prana means what? We have the five-fold functions, the five-fold system. It is the system of respiration, system of excretion, system of circulation, system of digestion, and system of retention or immunity. Okay, all these five systems are there. And the five systems are governed by one vital air. Therefore, the one vital air is given five different names as pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, and udanaha. So, pranaha yasmin panchada samvivesha. So, the five-fold prana governing five different systems have entered into the body means the remaining in the body, they make the body alive. Five-fold pranas governing the five different systems. Five-fold prana, one prana governing five different systems make the body alive. So, only in that live, active body, we have to recognize that Brahman, the absolute reality, the consciousness principle. Yasmin pranaha panchada samvivesha. Okay. Now the question is, the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman is there in the body which is live, where the prana is involved in five different, governs the five different systems. We have to recognize this Brahman obtaining in the form of pure consciousness in the live body where prana is involved in five different functions. Okay. The consciousness, what Upanishad means is the pure consciousness, the Chaitanyam, pervades the whole body, the whole system. There's nothing which is not pervaded by consciousness. The physical body, the flesh, the bones, the pranas, this indriyani, everything is in and through pervaded by consciousness. So it is said, yasmin pranaha panchada samvivesha. So in the physical body, where the prana, the fivefold prana, is involved in five different functions, governing five different systems, there, with the help of the mind, atma, subtlest atma must be recognized, must be arrived at, understood. And pranaihi chittam sarvam otam. Prajanam sarvam chittam otam. Pranaihi prajanam chittam sarvam otam. Is the sentence now? Prajanam chittam sarvam pranaihi otam. So in this third line Upanishad says, chittam pervades, chittam sarvam otam. Prajanam otam. So, the entire mind, the pure consciousness pervades the entire body, mind sense complex. Sarvam chit, prajanam sarvam chittam otam means pervaded, woven. Otham literally means woven, interwoven. Means implies pervaded. Otham, sarvam chittam, entire mind. Prajanam, mind of all beings, is pervaded by consciousness. So the mind in all bodies of all beings, all people, prajanam chittam otam, pervaded by consciousness. Yasmin vishuddhe eshaha atma vibhavati. So consciousness pervades the minds of all beings, all the people. The mind is pervaded by consciousness. Therefore, yasmin vishuddhe, if that mind, when the mind becomes pure, yasmin vishuddhe, when the chittam becomes pure, atma vibhavati. When the mind becomes pure, atma vibhavati. Atma becomes revealed. See, the physical bodies are variables, whereas consciousness is invariably present. Therefore, the different variable bodies are in and through pervaded by invariably present consciousness. And it's very important for us to turn our attention from the variable body, mind, sense complexes to the invariably present pure consciousness. The multifarious, varied things are always capable of drawing the attention of our mind. It's a big problem. Okay? The varied, multifarious things are capable of drawing our attention. Whereas this invariably present consciousness doesn't draw the attention. Therefore, he said, there one has to see this. And all the minds pervaded by consciousness of the beings, all the beings. And when that yasmin vishuddhe, when the chittam becomes pure, yeshaha atma vibhavati. I'm going to stop here. Yasmin vishuddhe, when that mind is no more, when the mind becomes pure. Vishuddhe means what? When the chittam becomes pure, when it becomes free from distractions and disturbances, when the mind becomes steady and focused, free from restlessness, when it becomes pure, free from impurities, then yeshaha atma vibhavati. Vibhavati means becomes evident. When that mind becomes pure and steady, yasmin vishuddhe, then atma vibhavati. This all pervasive reality, pure consciousness, implied by the term atma, becomes evident. It is not attained, it's already there, always there. There's never a time consciousness is not in the mind. It is the presence of consciousness which makes everything function. So consciousness, the atma in terms of pure consciousness, is always there, already there. But it becomes evident only when the mind becomes disturbance-free, distraction-free, pure mind. Yasmin vishuddhe eshaha atma vibhavati. It becomes, vibhavati means becomes evident. So, what is the important lesson? With the help of the mind alone, we have to arrive at the atma. Not as an object, but as the truth of the mind, for which the mind must become pure and steady. That is the lesson. Om Shanti. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீகுருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம்.